from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. This is 30 Laps with Dick. Welcome to this week. Well, we've gone back to the future recently. How about we pick ourselves up and go forward to the future this week? Get out of it, McFly. This is progressive thinking only. This week, the future trends on 30 Laps. Let's look at those trends, perhaps even predict and protect the world that is full of autonomous driving this week. We'll get the self-drive lowdown for 2020 and 2021 and the fully automatic 30 laps this week. Perhaps we'll give McFly a small talk about the fully electric DMC-12, the DeLorean. Feast your eyes on this, Doc. Great Scott! So, let's get cracking, shall we? From the Australian Financial Review, Life and Leisure magazine from March of 2020, Tony Davis writes, "Future trends. Car makers understand that there's no gain without pain, which is why they've shed their skins to become tech companies." Carlos Tavares is prepping for a dog-eat-dog automotive world. The chief executive of the forthcoming PSA and Fiat Chrysler conglomerate, which will cover 14 brands from Alfa to Vauxhall via Citroën, Jeep and Peugeot, has said, "There's going to be chaos between now and 2030. Conditions are going to be extremely selective. Not all manufacturers will survive the Darwinism. A time of extreme pain can be a time of gain too, and the innovations over the next few years will reshape how most things are done on wheels. Here are five trends to watch for. Number one, stream it. You did it with music. You did it with films. Are you game to throw your car ownership into it too? Canoe's theory is that something close to Spotify or Netflix business model should work with cars, particularly electric ones. Their high initial cost, coupled with their low long-term running costs, make battery buggies perfect for a subscription model. Even more so in a world where cars can be upgraded over the air. Under the Canoe plan, the car will be designed specifically for purpose, and as long as you pay the subs, it will be exclusively yours. Canoe's head, and that's Canoe spelt C-A-N-O-O, Canoe's head of tech is Australian James Cox, who previously worked with Uber in Sydney and then San Francisco. He says the Canoe service will launch next year with about 4,000 vehicles in Los Angeles, where the startup is based. You can imagine why. A city with poor public transportation, very high rise rate of private ownership, and heavy traffic. Canoe has recruited staff from Tesla, Lyft, Uber, and other traditional car makers in aerospace industries. It's a direct-to-consumer business model, says Cox. You see it in almost every other industry and wonder why it hasn't happened in auto. Certainly, with recorded music, people owned it for more than a century, then changed their practice in a decade, while Spotify built up its 200 million-plus subscribers, CD sales plummeted. The idea is that Canoe will cover insurance, maintenance, registration, and so on, with no long-term commitment from the user. To facilitate this, the design is built around a skateboard-style electric platform that can be fitted with a range of cabins and top hats for different users, say an ultra-luxurious top hat, a mobile office meeting room, or one for ride-hailing or deliverables. Canoe believes there is public resistance to sharing cars. Will it come back on time? Will it be clean? Will it be looked after? and in the run-up to full autonomy, such as services, such as canoe, can provide a bridge. The canoe tracks the driver's face. If the car knows the driver is looking in the side rear view mirror, for example, it doesn't necessarily light up the blind spot warning by using such technology. It is claimed driver assistance systems will be less intrusive and less likely to be turned off. Our whole vehicle can easily move to near or full autonomy, says Cox. It already has 7 cameras, 5 radars, 12 ultrasonic sensors. Therefore, we think that this vehicle would provide a good partner for one of the winners in the autonomous software stakes. Number 2. Lower it. Almost every car company has stats to prove it. The SUV is king. Audi reports local sales of its small SUV increased 376% from 2012 to 2018. Last year, 2/3 of BMW sales in Australia were X vehicles, or SUVs, so expect to see more SUVs with each new year. Audi head designer Mark Leach says while this type of vehicle will keep selling strongly, we think about what is next. And it is a high seating position, but lower roofline. More aerodynamic, longer range, better fuel consumption. That's certainly the trend in many concept cars, such as Kia's fully electric Futurtron, which has the ground clearance of an off-roader, but the roof height not much more than a mainstream sedan. Kia calls it a sports car on an SUV platform. I beg your pardon, that Kia is called a Futuron, not a Futurtron. Richard Lyon, 30 laps with Jack, with the first major mispronunciation of the day. The Byton M Byte, which is much closer to production than the Futuron, also fits the template Leach has set out and is interesting in many other ways. It's a good example of new companies coming out of China with apparently unlimited money, not always from known sources, and ambitions to match. Byton, for example, has only been around since 2016, but has about 1,600 employees and design and technical centres in Silicon Valley and Munich, as well as several Chinese cities. Yet thus far, it still hasn't sold a car. Nonetheless, it says it will launch the M-Byte in China this year and follow up early next year in Europe after the US, with the right-hand drive markets possibly after that. Yes, it's nothing if not ambitious. Designer David Valprida tells us the M-Byte has the biggest screen ever in a car. We call our interior a digital lounge and our cars a smart digital device on wheels. We want to give you the time you spend inside the car a different value because people will commute more in the future, probably with more sharing. This is obviously in March, is pro-COVID. Anyway, back to the story. The front seats rotate inwards 10 degrees, apparently enough to make for a more social atmosphere in the cabin. And there are two completely different layouts in the rear. It is close to 5 metres long, but it looks smaller, says Valprida. The proportions are quite classic because the car should look good enough even if it's electric. It doesn't need to be different. It needs to have a good stance and a nice presence and nice details, simple volumes and simple lines. Another thing about those ambitious Chinese makers, the domestic automotive market or the world's market is slowing, but production is not. Those vehicles will have to go somewhere, like here.
And I'm the man your mama told you about, and I'm the man mama told you about, and I'm the man your mama told you about. Jump back, I'm ready, gonna step right out.
Nothing like talking about new modern cars and we have some old music. However, back to the story. Coded is coded is number three. Morgan Stanley research predicted back in 2015 that software would soon grow to the point where it was 60% of the value of a new car. The smarter manufacturers were already well into it. In that year, the German companies, for example, combined to buy MapMaker, so they wouldn't be hostage to Google. Car companies continue to swallow tech companies with the usual software products, or clever teams in the process, spending like never before in pursuit of cars that are fully connected, increasingly autonomous, and ever more efficient. VW Group has pledged to spend 60 billion euro, nearly 100 billion Australian dollars, over the next 5 years to develop digital technologies and electric vehicles. In a similar vein, BMW board member Peter Notter tells us, "We have moved from a car company to a tech company. Already today, BMW is a software company. If you think about the way we engage with automated driving, the platforms that are needed for that, think about the way we interact with our customers. By 2025, or in my view, it could be much earlier, we want to have an active digital two-way relationship with 100 million customers daily. That 100 million is a combination of people who buy, rent, or lease a BMW Group product. Or are we using the company's mobility services, such as an app that will help them navigate a city in the most effective way via a combination of walking, using public transport, and driving? That is also requiring capability of a tech company," Norta adds. From there we move to number four, which is charge it. What is the tipping point for an electric vehicle? For some, it is solid-state batteries, which offer many advantages over the lithium-ion units favoured in today's electric cars. Some makers are talking about a 1,000-kilometre range for bigger cars, settling almost any possible range anxiety. Perhaps more importantly, car makers will be able to give, say, a 250-kilometre range to a city hatch that is light, small, and perhaps, most importantly, affordable. Today's small electric cars carry a 100% plus price premium, the batteries being the biggest cost. Add ever more rapid charging to a solid-state batteries, and the car case for ICE or internal combustion engine will become very hard to make. Toyota Executive Vice President Shigeki Terashi says his company will demonstrate solid-state batteries in time for the Tokyo Olympics. "We would like to introduce one for sale then, but mass production will be mid-2020s. VW Group describes solid-state batteries as the most promising approach to electromobility of the future. It says such technology, which it hopes to also bring to market in 2025, will increase the range of e-Golf from current 231 kilometres to about 750. According to a company statement, compared to current batteries, this battery technology offers higher energy density, greater safety, better rapid charging capability, and lower space requirements, with the same size of a current battery pack. The solid battery enables electric ranges at the level of conventional drives." Last of all, number five, love it. Morgan cars are expensive and exclusive, but their appeal is not that they do things that other cars don't, quite the opposite. Morgans are among the most mechanically analog cars around, with hand-formed aluminium panels over wooden frames, and it says something that the British company is planning to double production over the next 5 years. Despite its looks, the Plus 6 is the newest model and claimed to be the most technically advanced Morgan ever, with a bonded aluminium frame rather than the steel ladder chassis and wooden floorboards fitted to some other Morgan models. It will still take you 7 or 8 minutes to put up the canvas roof, though. So what is the appeal of a Morgan in a world of push-button hardtops and adaptive cruise control with lane keeping? It's not over-sanitised, says the marketing head, Toby Blythe. It does still bring back a connection between the driver and the vehicle that might be missing in other cars you'd buy today. He says the Morgan 4.4-4, based on our model built in 1936, is still in production as the closest representation to the original four-wheeled Morgan, the kind of purest expression. A modern update of this pre-World War I model, which had 3V wheels, is also available. Renewed interest in the tactile and overly mechanical is part of the groundswell reflected in bicycles, motorcycles, cars, and many other realms. Witness not just the return to music on vinyl, but in recent months, the re-emergence of cassette tapes and run-of-the-mill 1970s Holdens, Falcons and Valiants that you couldn't give away a few years ago are now fetching big money, and several makers are producing new versions of old cars. Although Bentley's recreation of its 1929 supercharged blower, well, we talked about that on 30 Laps a few weeks ago, that racing car is aimed at the collector market. Others, such as the rebuilt original MX-5 that Mazda is offering, are not. Those delightful little roadsters exist because of a demand for the return to a simpler age, where you make all the driving decisions and there are stakes if you make a mistake. The US-based Human Driving Association declares itself pro-steering wheel and has published a manifesto declaring, as Clause 12, we are pro-constitutional amendment creating a right to drive within the limits of safety technologies that do not infringe upon our freedom of movement. Admittedly, yester-tech is a niche, but its impact is enough to take and make larger companies recognise that their business could fade if each new generation is less excited by cars. At the Tokyo Motor Show last October, Toyota presented a minimalist electric sports concept called an e-racer, or the e-palette, a modular electric concept designed to work on an autonomous people mover, delivery vehicle or mobile shop. Toyota president Akihi Toyoda explained, if we look at shared forms of mobility, such as the e-palette, as they were horse carriages, forms of mobility owned by individuals, like the e-racer, would be beloved horses. I would say this means that our future society of mobility will be a society in which horse carriages and beloved horses coexist. Thank you, Tony Davis. Future trends. Car makers understand that there's no pain gain without pain, which is why they shed their skins to become tech companies. From the Australian Financial Review Life and Leisure magazine of March 2020, prior to COVID, so it's all probably changed anyway. Whatever they do, they'll never get rid of that rush hour, though. Boy, does it what. Mind you, after COVID, who knows? They may be able to get rid of it after all. Let's stick with Tony Davis and that same magazine, the Australian Financial Review magazine, and predict and protect. There are some unexpected curves on the road to autonomous driving. So we better have a look at that too, I think. A smart human can learn to drive safely in, say, 50 hours. Self-driving cars, in theory, can think and predict more carefully than any human, or react, for that matter. And prototypes have logged millions of hours on tens of millions of kilometres. So why are there still things going wrong? Few people have thought as deeply about the subject as Dr. Gil Pratt, robotics and AI expert, former MIT professor, and now head of Toyota Research Institute based in the Silicon Valley. TIR is charged with the sharp end of innovation for a company that sells more than 10 million vehicles a year. Tony Davis asked for his view of the future. Tony said, many predicted we'd all be driving autonomously by 2020. That's not going to happen, is it? And the answer is, no, we're not going to see it roll out starting with what we call operational design domains that are easy and then progressing into ones that are harder and harder. So from a financial point of view, it's where you have more passengers in the vehicle and you can afford more hardware, then eventually it will get to personally owned cars. There are two different ways to do this. The Guardian method is where we help humans not have crashes, and the chauffeur method is where the car drives on its own. Question two. So is Guardian first? Yes. The potential, we think, is very, very high. We have to be really good at predicting what other cars and pedestrians are going to do. We're making a lot of progress on that. Machine learning works well when it has a lot of data. It's a kind of chicken and egg thing. We need enough cars out there gathering enough data on the statistics of what other cars that are driven by human beings tend to do. Question three, how much data collection is needed? How many more gigabytes a minute or second? The answer to that is we don't know. It's petabytes. It's like way, way, way up there. We all have this innate experience from having grown up as human beings. So I can have a pretty good idea of what you're going to do next simply because we're both in the same species and we both kind of grew up in the same way. Even though you may be from one side of the world and I from a different one. The computer in the car doesn't have any of that. All that it can do is blindly try to pattern match against millions of examples. But the range of human behaviour is so large, it's hard to cover the entire space. Next question. Give me an example of where you and I, from the other side of the world, understand each other on the road. You have a mother and a child, okay? And they're pedestrians, and they're at a corner of a street, and there's a traffic light, and the mother is holding the hand of the child, and the light goes red, and it says, don't walk, don't cross. You're in a car. Do you think that you're going to cross against a red light? The answer is no, right? Case two. Two teenagers. Let's let them have blue hair, they're boys. Oh, and they're in junior high school. They have skateboards on. And they both look around. Are they going to cross against a red light? Quite possibly. And you know that because we're people and we know what it's like to be young kids and we both happen to be men, so we know that it's like to be boys at that age, right? The computer doesn't know any of that. All we can do is feed in data, and maybe it would extract out what the idea is that people with that kind of look will do, and blue hair, of course, act in certain ways. It doesn't know what a mother or child are. That's part of what is holding the field back. The prediction of human behaviour is very, very hard. The final question was, in what area might we make the most progress? I think safety systems are going to be able to get a lot better sooner. There are a lot of really simple cases that are low-hanging fruit. As an example, close to half of all fatalities in the road involve a single vehicle. Why would it leave the road? Because the driver fell asleep. Or they were drunk. If the hardware in the car can know where the car is and it can have a map of what is out there, it can help with a lot of these cases. I don't think that's very far off. I'd love it to be the case that I didn't have to worry when one of my kids learns to drive. and there's a huge portion of the population healthy enough to drive, but they are older and reactions aren't quite as they were. We can help those people continue to drive in a safe way. And that was a quick interview with Tony Davis talking to Dr. Gil Pratt, robotics and AI expert. Well, he was an expert. He doesn't live here anymore. Further, MIT, a former MIT professor and now head of Toyota Research Business and Institute based in Los Angeles in the Silicon Valley. And that was taken from the Australian Finance Review Life and Leisure magazine that we've been rabbiting on about this whole episode of 30 Laps from March 2020. And very quickly, last but not least, The Electric DeLorean from the Huffington Post, written by Timothy Timothy. Oh, I've had fun today. The DeLorean Company of Texas announced in October that it was partnering with Epic EV to create an electric version of the iconic DeLorean DMC-12. And the photos from the vehicle debut have arrived from the future. Well, not really, but they look pretty awesome. On the exterior, the car looks similar to the original, but according to Design News, the rear engine compartment has been turned into the battery bay, housing the electric motor and some of the vehicle's 750 pounds of batteries. And if that weren't enough, nods to Back to the Future trilogy, the company that makes the batteries is called Flux Power. You always think of flux as in the flux capacitor. I never dreamed I'd be supplying the system for the new electric DeLorean, Chris Anthony, the CEO of both Flux Power and Epic EV, told the Huffington Post. The car will set you back between $90,000 and $100,000 US. Now all you need is a pair of Marty McFly's Nike Mag shoes to go along with your new ride. From Timothy Stefanik from the Huffington Post, The Electric DeLorean, hey, back to the future again. That's where we started this program and that's where we're going to finish it, I think. I hope you've enjoyed our look in to the future of what the autonomous vehicle and the battery power and the tech companies are going to be able to deliver to us in the future, which some believe is not that far away. We've also had a brief look in the window of some of the new autonomous vehicles, and that was a bit of a thrill. Thank you very much for your company this afternoon. This is Richard Lyon from 30 Laps with Dick. I look forward to talking to you next week. If you can spare me 30 minutes, I'd love to fill them for you. Until then, take care, hey? See you later.